May 16th, 2019, there's a lot from Pedro Show.
Thank you. I don't ever wanna fall down so easy. Spit me up by the neck. When it's getting older, I'm just a wreck. Never let me fall down easy. Words are worth its currency. Songs back up again. Write them down in poetry, but poetry's dead. The words always fail.
For Pedro Show, Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Howdy. We're 3 days early, but 3 days from today will be 18 years we've been doing the show.
Amazing.
Our first show, 2001, May 19th.
Man.
In the same room.
Yeah.
But the room has changed.
It's changed
the
a bit.
The grotto has changed. There used to be huge ass.
Giant pile.
Right.
People didn't want to leave.
Didn't
stay for days. I would find so much stuff in that pile.
Anyway, it's been 18 righteous years.
Yeah.
With you, Brother Matt.
What an honor.
Always essential. Aiding and abetting. Where are you guys calling from?
Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Right on. Off. I was just there last
Brother
week.
Brother Matt was there last week. He went awesome. Yeah, he retraced the steps of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Followed up the Columbia River and all that. And, of course, you guys are at the mouth.
Yeah, you guys are in a bitching place.
Yes, river.
Yeah, very close. How far did you make it?
We made it like a couple hundred miles up the Snake River.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And ended up in Idaho, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
cool. Yeah. And, you know, Snake River is where Evel Knievel. I should say.
Did his leap.
Did his little rocket launch. We started with Nature Boy, John Coltrane, and then Worthless Currency from Heart to Oak. This is who we got aboard, people. Nate Aaron and...
Welcome.
Nate Aaron...
Ezra.
And Ezra from Hearts of Oak. Okay, who wants to go first?
I'll go first. This is Nate.
Nate, what's your earliest musical recollection?
I think it was my dad's a folk singer. He lives back in Portland, Maine. But
the other Portland.
My dad's Portland. But I have this memory of, like, he used to sing a song that he just made up that was just like all the things I liked, like boat, bike, car, plane. And I was thinking about trying to hit him up and if he remembers it, but I think that's my earliest memory.
Is your pop being a singer? Okay.
Yep.
In the house that you grew up, was there instruments?
For sure. He had guitars, and he's also a bass player.
Oh,
and,
wow.
As I got older, I remember he'd have jams over every. He had a Tuesday night jam as I was in junior high because I remember laying in bed being like, "I got to get up in the morning for school," and be rocking out. But yeah, so there's
people would come over and jam.
Yeah, he had jams for those few years. I remember him really well.
What, like in the living room?
No, it was a pretty big house. It was weird. My bedroom was like, it was all these split levels, and he was jamming in the room right below mine, like full electric with drums and everything. Was,
wow.
Yeah.
Tuesday nights.
Tuesday nights, pushing like 1 a.m, I'd be like.
Okay, so did you just start banging on stuff, playing the guitar, bass, whatever?
No, I didn't really at all. I think I did the typical rebellious, like, teenager thing. I just was into skateboarding and I was into music, but I didn't pick up guitar until I was about 21, I think.
What about school, Nate? Were you in the band, in a marching band or choir or some shit like that?
No, the town of Maine I grew up in was so small, we didn't really... I mean, I remember we had music class, but it was just, like, playing the recorder and stuff.
Recorder, it's like the kind of flute, huh?
The little flute plasticky thing.
Yeah.
And
Nate, what was the first record you bought yourself?
First record I bought myself.
It's Echo.
I have a small disclaimer, but the only thing that comes to mind, I didn't buy this, but I got a record player tape deck combo for Christmas. And I got a Huey Lewis in the News LP and a Cyndi Lauper LP. But I don't really want to brag about those.
That's rough.
Nice to see you got over that.
Now, what was the first gig you went to, Nate?
Oh God, this is another one that's kind of slightly embarrassing. Other than many of my dad's gigs on like the 4th of July and random summer festivals and stuff in Maine, I remember going to see Paul Simon.
Ooh, that's rough. Yeah. I mean, someone's got to go to the gig, so don't worry. So you didn't start playing guitar till you were 21. Now, what got you into it?
I actually was living in San Francisco in the 90s, and I skateboarded, like I said, and I moved up here, and I just kind of put the skateboard down a little bit and started an acoustic guitar at pawn shop, and Neil Young's Easy Anthology of Guitar Chords, and just took off from there, yeah. And I think I had a lot of influence from my dad and growing up.
Like the toilets?
Yeah, the flood.
And came to me, kind of.
Okay. And what was the first guitar you had?
Oh, gosh. I think it's at my in-law's house in Tennessee, so I see it every time I go back there, but it was like, it was a POS. I think it was called Advantage, or Vantage. Vantage with a V, that's what it was.
Vantage.
Yeah.
Advantage.
After that, I got an acoustic Yamaha a couple years later. It was a 74. I had that for about 10 years.
And when was the first time you played in front of people?
I remember that well, because I was in this, like, kind of stringy, you know, string band, for better, just like a better description. I remember that the other guys in the band would sing, and I was just like, well, I feel like what I'm supposed to do to contribute is write songs and sing, too. It didn't make any sense, but I remember doing the Willie Nelson tune, Stay All Night, Stay a Little Longer. That was the first time I sang live.
Was it scary?
It was scary, but it was just an incredible rush, yeah. So
with both at the same time, did you shit a pecan log?
Yeah, I should have figured it out, but I felt tingly all over, too, you know? It's a good feeling.
That's probably because it was pretty rough coming out.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Okay. Who am I talking to?
Ezra.
Ezra, what's your earliest musical recollection?
I think my parents playing music in the house growing up, records and stuff.
They're listeners or are they players like Nate's pop?
Listeners. More listeners. My dad tried to play a few different instruments, but never really stuck. So instruments didn't come around until later when my older brother got a guitar.
Okay. Do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
Yeah, I do. I bought, there was a Spencer Davis Group record and a Jimi Hendrix Are You Experienced record.
Spencer Davis, that's Stevie Winwood, right, when he's like 17.
Yeah. Yep.
Incredible. Organ player, singer.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I think that trumps Huey Lewis in the news.
All right.
Okay. A little bit. A little bit. Sorry, Nate. What about at school, Ezra? Did you do music in school, like the band or marching band?
I played trumpet in elementary school and in middle school. Continued doing that.
Okay. Trumpet.
Yeah.
So, you learned how to read music?
Yeah, I learned how to read music.
Yeah, great. Because, you know, a lot of schools don't have music programs now. That's why I ask about this shit.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Out here they do tend to, I think, more. But, yeah, back then they did.
You still play some trumpet?
And there was a lot of people in the band, so it was fun.
Do you still play trumpet?
I can, but I don't really play it that often, so my chops aren't up, you know?
Yeah, the lip, right? You got to keep the lip embouchure in shape.
Yep.
If you don't use it, you lose it.
That's right.
So you had gigs, in a way, by being in, marching in the band and stuff, but what about the thing like after school in the garage or basement or bedroom?
Yeah, I formed a band in high school. We were called Sick Duck.
Sick Duck.
Sick Duck. And we played, our first gig was like a battle of the bands at another high school.
Okay. Did you win?
I don't know. We might have got second, or they didn't want to give it out because there was two good bands and we were one of them, kind of thing. I don't know. It was kind of weird.
Was that up in Oregon?
Yeah. Where was this?
It was in Portland, Oregon.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah. I remember we played that song "Heroin" by Velvet Underground with the lights off.
That's a good one at high school. I say the darkened seas, great big clipper ship. Sailing from this land here to that, I put on a sailor suit and cap. Right? Brother Lou. So what made you switch from trumpet to what? Alabama sausage whistle?
Yeah, I didn't think it was cool in high school, so I didn't want to join the band. And I decided that I wanted to play guitar because that's what older brother was doing, and it kind of made sense. So I took one of his older ones that wasn't very good and taught myself how to play it, basically.
Oh, Vic, you didn't use the Neil Young chord book?
I didn't. No, I did have a book that taught me like basic chords, but I didn't much.
What was the other one? Alfred.
Bay.
Mel Bay.
Yeah,
Mel Bay. Interesting. I want to play High Water here, okay?
I've been swimming in the ocean, I've been rolling with the punches. On my beach there's a sign under construction. My miner's night is hell-bent on destruction. Watching the sunset in the pyramid sky. Mirror and glasses hide darkest eyes. The waves have went up on you away. This line where I beg you to stay. Get out of the tide, no. High water, high water.
Mora Prosertal, ô viola, meu bem, ô viola. Que não me dá o bem, ô viola, meu bem, ô viola. Sou funcionário da leste, sou maquinista do trem. Vou embora pro Sertão, que aqui não me dá o bem, ô viola, meu bem, ô viola. 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 Vou embora pro Sertão, ô viola, meu bem, ô viola. Viola, meu bem, no viola. La 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 la.
Head full of fuzz, but
loneliest boat on the ocean that the sea ain't ever seen. Beautiful pin your gut as you watch the last train leave. To the eye of the hurricane and the calm after the storm. Feel the glance around the platform won't do any good.
Watch the Peaver Show. We heard Hearts of Oak doing High Water. The Embristics with Grab a Mirage. Arabia Saudada with Igalita. Better Than I Ever Was, version number one from Chris Butler. Lauren with Not Today. Bachola. From Marco Serrato and Francesco Covarino. Debele Zina from Sajer Bitter Lemon. Thanks to Stanislaw for turning me on to that. And then one more from Hearts of Oak. Last Train Home. So Aaron, your earliest musical recollection.
It's probably my father and my mom playing guitar. My mom really never played guitar, but I think she was maybe taking lessons when I was younger, so just that image. But, my mother and father playing guitar.
So there's always a guitar in the pad.
Yeah, like a nylon string or 12 string. My dad would take them back and forth from, you know, church to home, so.
Acoustics, yeah.
Acoustics mostly, yeah.
And do you remember the first record you bought yourself?
I think I traded some, like, G.I. Joe or Star Wars toys for AC/DC or Kiss cassettes. I remember that. I got a little flat cassette recorder.
Okay. Yeah, don't it's kind of hard to stuff them toys.
Yeah, part of that.
And you remember your first gig you went to?
There was a kind of a metal punk band when I was a kid I went to probably when I was 13 or 14. But my dad also had kind of traveling people through the church as well, so a little acoustic acts and stuff like that.
Was this in Portland?
Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Klamath Falls, okay. That's the route you have to take if Siskiyou Pass is closed.
Yeah, so you used to go hang out in the Lava Beds Park over there? Yeah, that's a bitchin' trippy place.
Yeah, that's a really cool spot down there, lava beds.
Yeah, people don't know. Yeah. Eastern
Modoc.
Oregon is so much different. Same with Washington. The east and the west parts of the states are completely, because of the rain shadow, because of the Cascades.
Yeah, Klamath Falls is kind of right there in the, you know, right on that edge of the western and eastern, kind of where it really changes, at least.
Right.
Like geographically, at least.
Right. What about school? Did you have music in school?
Yeah, we did. I played trumpet.
Wow, another trumpet player.
Oh, yeah. Third, fourth grade, I think. I played it through about 10th grade.
And what, like the marching band?
I never did marching band. Okay. It was mostly, I did a little bit of even the symphony, kind of extracurricular. You know, my dad's friend played cello, and he'd take me there for a couple years in the Klamath Falls Symphony.
Wow.
After school, but I never really got super great at it. You know, some of the flats and sharps would kind of confuse me occasionally and when I was younger, but I kind of got about 9th, 10th grade.
You learned to read?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, great, great. You know, this crap with tabs, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, I kind of tried that a little bit. I had some friends that were really into that, but I never really liked it for some reason.
Yeah, if you're going to do it for real. That's such a half-ass, I think. What about outside of school, like a garage, bedroom, basement band?
When I was a little older, I kind of always had an acoustic guitar, but it had one or two strings or something on it. So I just pick around on stuff that I'd learn from the trumpet. And then I think when I was about 13, 14, I bought a guitar and traded it for a bass in the Nicolads. So it was about like 13, 14 when I picked up the electric bass.
Nicolads?
Yeah, in the Nicolads before Craigslist. I put a...
Oh, I think we had...
Recycler?
Recycler.
Yeah.
We had this pink paper called the Recycler. It'd come out on Thursday.
Okay.
And like the ads were for free. And it cost 75 cents or something like that. I bought all my shit, all my instruments, all my cars, everything came out of the recycler.
Oh, that's cool.
In the older days.
Man. Traded a guitar for an electric guitar I bought for a PV bass.
PV bass. Somebody in Nashville, remember this guy, put a play in there from Bruce Fitzpatrick. And after the gig, this guy, hey, what? If you take me to my pad and buy me a pack of cigarettes and a 12-pack of beer, I'll give you a bass. Like, I didn't really need a bass, but I drive him to his pad, and he's holding the beers, right, the 12-pack. And when he opens the hatch of the boat, he's, like, leaning up against it. He falls right out, but he don't want to let go of the beers. So he lands on his fucking head. Like he didn't break his fucking neck. And then we go to his pad, and he gave me a PV bass. And the next day, I'm in Birmingham, and it was the bottle shop or something. Club, Bottle Tree or something. One of the Man or Astro Man guys ran. Look at there goes that.
There
you
go. Flood waters.
Oh, man, that's a jam-ass toilet. Anyway, they conked in the dressing room. They had like a trailer there. And these guys conked there overnight. So when we pull in, they're going to bail. Hey, you want a bass? Yeah. So didn't weigh the boat down. Okay, so let me know how Hearts of Oak got together. Two trumpet players in a...
Yeah.
Guy on recorder.
Well, I met Ezra. This is Nate. I met a singer songwriter and came up with the name Hearts of Oak about 12 years ago, I think.
And, this is after you lived in the city, right? You moved to Portland.
All started in Portland, Oregon, and been here ever since. But we played a show together and. And then I just started hanging out with him over here. He's got a little home studio and stuff where we're at right now. And he produced the first couple records and then eventually joined the band. And just that's how it all kind of got started. It's just been going steady.
Yeah, but how did the band start? It was you.
Uh, I started it kind of myself. I was in that band, that string band, like kind of bluegrassy instrumentation, and that broke up, and I was like, well, I want to do something a little bit more with drums and electric bass and so on, and I pulled different people to play over the years, and eventually it's the lineup we have right now. Aaron here is on, our bass player, Ezra yeah. plays electric guitar and such, and we've been together for maybe a little over 4 years, I think, the last 4 years. So it was kind of a rotating cast around me before that, though.
Okay. Do you remember the first gig?
The first one that would have been the first Hearts of Oak gig, I'm not entirely sure, but I mean, you know, it would have been pretty close to the one when I played with Ezra, because my old bluegrassy band played with Ezra's band called the Meredith Brothers. Was that the Meredith Brothers? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I was out of town and missed that gig. And then I ended up playing a gig with Ezra, kind of where I just played it acoustic, and him and his brother played at this bar right down the road. So like that 12. Was the first about gig.
And how'd you get the name?
I just liked I liked the sound of those words together, and it's kind of an old. I think it's the English Navy has a song called Hearts of Oak, and I just like the imagery. My grandfather had a website early in the internet days dedicated to the six-masted schooners in Maine. And so it's like a little flash website with just pictures of the old ships.
Six masts?
Man.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Jesus if you just go Christ.
Yeah, they're huge. It was just about the time when, you know, transitioned to steamships. There were these huge schooners. They were built in. So.
They must have been, like 200 foot big boats, right?
Yeah. And supposedly my middle name is Lincoln, and I'm named after this guy.
Oh, Lincoln Logs.
One, and his brother was the captain of another one or something.
That's what we call big turds.
Big turds.
Lincoln Logs. Not to be confused with the pecan log. Yeah. We're at the end of the first hour, May 16, 2019, Dish and Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Hearts of Oak, Old Type for Hour 2. May 16, 2019, it's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Oh, wave our arms and agitate our flags and dream in braille and row against the slogan tide and the dribble of the winning side. Parachute but cannot fly or fold ourselves into the hill, inventing invisible ink, practicing the Belgium wink in the hall of mirrors where we slide and sink. Drama queens in the final scene, set in the benighted lighthouse, the dread bit drunk keeper is strobing in the sea, strobing the sea on his knees, dreaming of the long ago, long for imagined and phantom other. Oh, towers, oh, steeples, oh, spires, and their lightning conductor, verdigris, waiting for the once in a lifetime heavenly fire to incinerate the boredom of our lives. Incinerate the boredom of our lives. Oh, pity us. Who cannot love?
Gracias. One of these originated on the headquarters ship Anton, just off the French coast. Your reporter, George Hicks of the ABC.
Dark days are bringing me down. it's better off this way. It's never ending.
Suffering when I could hand it in. I'm making a fire. I'm down to get high in this hotel of pain. I've cursed. Well, a ghost passed me by. Angels on high. And it's all from a
Pedro show. Start the second hour off with Hearts of Oak doing Texas Hammer Time. Then the Blood Quartet out of Barcelona with Fire Folk. The Odes, Oh Pity Us, that's Ted Milton from Blurt. Pull Anchor with Discordant Bong. Yeah, They Live Now.
J-Tree and Grants Pass connection. That's right. Yeah.
That's right. He was up in a long time in Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Or Yucca Valley. Mm. Right next door.
Captain Larry.
Yep. Brother Larry. Red Mass out of Montreal with Dark Days. Pacific Meantime. They were on last week. The Wheel. Spain. Josh Haig. Petra's brother. Untitled Number One. I'm going to do a couple songs with them at the end of the month.
So the band last week, they were up near neighbors of Portland, right? They're in Astoria
or
Vancouver.
Portland too, oh. But they weren't original. Uh-huh.
Do you know those guys?
Yeah, do you guys know?
Pacific
Meantime.
We don't know them, but our buddy Alex, I think
yeah, that's the common guy, yeah. Is Alex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You mean you don't know every single person in Portland?
Not yet. Getting there.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, Ezra's been here longest. So.
Okay. So then, finally, Ghosts Pass Me By from Hearts of Oak. So, Nate, you're the main song writer?
Yeah, I read all the songs.
Okay.
And these guys, folks, boys helped me arrange them.
And what about this record? Where'd you do it at?
Right here this is the Deer Lodge Records, Deer Lodge Studio.
The Deer Lodge.
Yeah, we did it right down there in the basement.
Is that what you call it, the Deer Lodge?
Yep.
Where do I play in Portland? Doug Fir?
You just played at Turn.
That's right, that with Mike Baghetta. But before that, I've done a lot of gigs at Doug Fir Lodge. Mm.
Doug Fir Lounge.
Lounge, that's it. Right, it's part of the hotel.
It's got log decor, I guess.
Yeah, it's got logs. Yeah.
Come to the Deer Lodge.
And the logs. Lincoln logs, pecan logs. Stack them up. Okay. And so you record your own pad. That's kind of like pizza with the Casahanzo here. I mean, you can take forever, right?
Yeah, we do.
And you do.
But I don't feel like we work on stuff a lot. We just take our time.
Yeah, sure. But that's the bitchin' thing about these days. You can have your own studio. You know, the older days, it wasn't like that. You had to help some man pay off his rent. Oh, man, like Minuteman, they had this thing called downtime, like midnight to 8. Be a lot more econo, but like, yeah, fucking middle of the night. And use tape. That was, 30 yips, 2-inch tape was $150. But if you got used tape, it's only $75. And you could get 15 minutes at 30 yips, 2-inch tape. And people don't realize it's
a different world.
Yeah, yeah. We'd even record in the sequence so we could save money. You know, like it was a gig.
Mm.
Set list.
Yeah.
So, I think that's really bitching. One of the good things about these days. You know what else is a bitching thing? It's Brother Matt and his spin site.
Cool.
Great, Brother Matt.
Cool.
Trying
exclamation
Brother
mark.
Matt, what made you do what you just did to us with your sausage?
I think that was a can of butter on that one. Yeah, just made a big pile of spaghetti and had a big old glob of butter and put it in there, and it's working pretty good. But Stuart, let's also credit Stuart Sweezy in there, because I went to see Desolation Center the other day. It's so awesome. It's great. And saw Ron celebrating his birthday with us today, Jordan Schwartz, and yeah, it was a very cool time up there. Great. Great. Can't say enough good things about that flick. It was awesome.
Yeah, Stuart Sweezy put on these trippy gigs, like in the desert, here in the harbor on a boat, Minuteman and the puppets sailing around the harbor playing, deboing. We had to lash the amps almost into the drink. And then the desert one, I remember the sand blowing. Dean Boone had wore contacts, so it was rough on his eyes. And he did one with Einsternenz and Neubauten. And he also did a desert one with Sonic Youth.
Yeah, trippy how the John Love, Burning Man, was out there getting the seeds of Burning Man. Perry with Lollapalooza was there.
Psycho.
Yeah, all the stuff that started from those parties.
Perry had a band, Psycho. Yeah. I remember Minuteman got to play with them. Kind of synthesizer band. And maybe Stuart was instrumental in influencing all those kind of things that came later.
Awesome. Documenting it way back then, being able to bust it out now.
Right. Bruce Leicher.
I also had a cool time seeing you at Brewery West the other night.
Last week.
Gomez Bueno. That was cool seeing him. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, the sound, though, man. It sounded like we were playing in a warehouse because we were playing in a warehouse. And, you know, they should get somebody to do paintings or artwork and just hang and kill that echoey stuff. You guys there in Portland? Nate?
Hi.
Aaron?
Yep. Here. Yep, hi. Still there.
Okay. You got gigs coming up?
Oh, all the time, it seems like.
Yeah, we got one tomorrow night.
Really?
Yeah.
Cobra Lounge.
Yeah.
Coco Lounge in Portland.
Cobra.
Cobra Lounge.
Yeah. Yep.
I remember Portland had one place to play, Satyricon.
Yeah, I played there. Oh, yeah.
D-Boom went through the deck. Oh. Kept playing.
Man.
Yeah. I remember the boss. His name was George, right? He looked like Carlos Santana.
Yeah.
It was a rough part of town in those days, too.
Yeah.
That area. And so the town has changed. But now there's like 30 places to play.
At least.
Yeah, Portland's really changed. And, what about touring?
We get out of town a little bit, but we don't seem to stray too far.
You know, that's what the guys last week, Pacific Mean Time, was saying.
Yeah, everything's far apart out here, and then a lot of us have jobs, and we just went to Seattle a couple weeks ago, but that's about...
A lot of us have jobs. Mm. Okay.
Yeah. That messes things up.
But by that, I mean all of us.
That's probably what I figured. You know, you got to keep the Deer Lodge afloat, right?
Yeah, running. That's right.
So, you know, people in the rest of the country, they don't realize Northwest, it is tough. When you sally forth, you really have to sally forth because places are far apart.
Played Mitchell, Oregon, out in the desert, out past the Painted Hills, and that was a really fun show, but it was a long drive. Yeah.
And I played in band. It's hard to get to band.
Yeah.
You know, it was February and almost snowed out. We had to follow the plow.
Wow. Yeah, Highway 97 is pretty dangerous in the winter, too. Yeah.
Well, it's the end of the second hour, May 16, 2019 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Hearts of Oak. Hold tight for hour three. May 16, 2019, it's the third hour of the Wap Pedro Show.
All the outlaws used to love. Their pale from on I've been lost in the rain of yesteryear. Like I've been left out in the sun too long. Heart like old boys' toys.
Mm-hmm.
it all and burn so far. What a luxury now to be where you've been. You could only remember when, remember when. Keep the lights out.
Walk from Pedro Show, start off the third hour with Hearts of Oak doing Outlaws. Yeah, Nate, you wrote that, right?
That's right.
Yeah. What were you thinking of?
What was I thinking of when I wrote that one? It's funny you should ask that because I was thinking about what I was thinking about when I wrote Kick the Lights Out. Yeah, a lot of songs I've been writing since the last record feel like they're... I often just used to write relationship songs, and then I grew out of that, and I just write getting old songs more.
Less younger. Less younger.
Yeah.
You got rid of the O word. No more O word. There's more younger and less younger.
Yeah. Growing younger songs.
So Outlaw is about getting less older.
I guess it could be. I think Outlaws.
Yeah, less younger.
Yeah,
I broke my own fucking rules.
Yeah, I think Outlaws is a little bit more about losing friends and keeping friends, bad influences on each other and such. Love and Loss.
That fits perfect with the next song by the Coat Hangers, Smother. And then Lisa Belladonna with Star Child Warrior. I always wanted to write a song called that. Julie Slick, incredible bass lady from Philadelphia, with Quintal. And finally, Kick the Lights Out, Hearts Oak. And that song's about getting less younger, too?
That one's about getting less younger from the... I kind of imagined an aging rock and roller hanging out on the beach in Mexico. Is it, you know, not necessarily a bad thing, but it's how I envisioned it.
That's where D. Boone wrote Corona.
Yeah.
Was on the beach. Rosarita? Down by Ensenada.
Okay.
I remember, yeah. This is something me and D. Boone learned. If you shave your head bald, don't be swimming the next day. You got to breathe. So your head's out of the water for like 7-8 hours. We got so sunburned on our fucking payload. Bald heads. Oh, man. And I remember, also, Georgie took a dump. He goes, look, butt snicker. He's got like a candy bar. It's Georgie, like, you know how it is. Like, the more you push away, the fucking thing comes at you. Yeah, yeah. Georgie, don't do this in their water. He's usually very good about those kind of things, but this was a little lax. Butt snicker. Oh, man. So, what you guys' next plan?
Next plan. We're already working on another record.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to record it there at the Deer Lodge.
Oh, yeah. I don't know where else we'd do it.
Yeah, right, right. well, I want to play Easy by the Gun.
Right on. Cool. Awesome.
Is this kind of a cautionary tune?
This is a cautionary tune. This is when we recorded this one, it was an older song, but it's just about, you know, upsetting the old lady in the relationship. The young lady, I guess.
Okay. Here, let's listen.
We don't see them.
Thank you. the teeth of man, kissing mules heel, but it's harder still. I'm out there on my own. I love my woman, but she's hard as again. Forgiving me, but she's forgiven when I run. It's no use anyway. She's got bullets on her tongue. I'm just waiting.
Thank you. touch it till your birthday reaches 30, baby. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. But the hair is long, so obviously we might get confused sexually. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. If your brother spent some time as a considered congressman, I would have to forgive him. Maybe not.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Easy by the Gun, Heart to Oak. And then Raylan Nelson Band. We had Willie Nelson's granddaughter come by. We ended a tour. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And a tune called Do You. Yeah, she plays ukulele.
Ukulele, yeah.
Oh,
huh.
Yeah. And she looks a lot like her grandpa. He's an incredible cat. Did the Fiction with Wait For You. And finally, California, Hearts of Oak. Now, why'd you write a song, Nate, about our state?
That's actually an easy one. When I was skateboarding in the 90s, all my friends moved out to San Francisco, and I stayed behind and with a girlfriend for one winter, and they just kept writing me letters. This is like in 1993. And they're like, you got to get out here. Yeah. And, so it was mostly just about that feeling.
You ended up there, right?
Yeah, I moved there the next, I broke up with my girlfriend and moved there the next spring, so I was on it.
Now, 93, so, yeah, kind of a long time ago. You know, you guys know music people that are younger than you. If they asked you for advice, what would you tell them, Nate?
Don't. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't get into music?
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. It would depend on the question, you know?
It's about this music racket. What would you get? That's what I'm talking about. Music.
Yeah, the racket. You know, I don't know. I would just, you know, it sounds so cheesy, but, you know, just do it if you love it. Because, you know, you can't do it for the money. You're just going to disappoint yourself. Or the fame, for that matter.
What about you, Ezra?
I was going to actually say that in front of him there. That's what I would say. If you're going to do it, you've got to do it because you love it. I've been doing this on and off professionally for a long time. That's just kind of how it is. You just have to love it or else it's not worth doing. It's not for everybody. I love it.
And, space, what's the third?
Aaron, yes. Yes.
Aaron, sorry. Much, God damn it.
Pretty much the same feeling or vibe on that. Like, something I'm doing regardless of whether I'm in a band or not. But I think the band gives me structure. Something I just love and I feel like I have to do. I guess sometimes I don't always love it, but.
I mean, would you tell a younger person?
Love it. I don't know. What's that?
What would you tell a younger person getting into music, you know? What would you advise them?
Well, just the same thing that Nate said pretty much. If you love it, do it. If, you know, or do it when you're feeling it and take a break when you need to. And I don't know, but it's always, is it cool? You learn a lot. You meet new people.
There's no really wrong answer, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of questions. I like to ask questions like that. There's no real wrong answer. Yeah. It's like, what's your favorite color?
Yeah.
That's not what I heard.
Blue. No, brown.
Wait.
It was the Monty Python movie, right? The guy gets thrown into the canyon. He can't remember his favorite color. So when I ask for advice, there's really no wrong answer. You know, I'm just curious. Because, I mean, there's a shift before you, there's a shift after you, and you're working your shift now. And so, you know, things get handed down. And I think it's okay.
I think it's important to be original.
Not pat somebody on the head, you know, and be condescending or anything like that, but, like, yeah, love it.
Yeah.
That's good advice. I think some people, I don't know. One reason why I like having guests on the show is to show there's millions of different ways of doing this music trip, and there is no one way to do it. And, I think Hearts of Oak is a good example of, you know what I mean? You guys have your own voice, your own sound, your own vision. It's so trippy, you know, 18 years of doing this with Brother Matt, and we've never had the same story twice. It's always different. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Marsha.
And I want you to have a good success with this next round of recording. And
thank you.
Maybe come to California and play some gigs.
Oh, all right, we'll do that for you.
Yeah, we'll
do an I-5 tour.
Yeah. All right.
Brother Matt, thank you so much for your such an event.
18 more years to go.
Brother Ron, happy
Easter.
The cycling. It's the May 16, 2019 Dishawat for Pedro show. Everybody, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.